Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're into our second half hour. Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. Thanks for sticking around with us. So these 4G networks, they're springing up everywhere, even here in Lansing, although phone users are discovering that the spotty coverage is causing them some problems. To talk about what the issues are and how quickly the 4G infrastructure is being built out, I'm joined by Greg Bensinger, a Wall Street Journal reporter whose recent article on this story can be found at WSJ.com. Greg, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're in New York City yourself?
That's right, yeah.
Do you access the 4G network there?
Yeah, I've used it, and there are in fact areas where you cannot find a signal, and that's the root of the problem. These 4G phones, they're very nice, but they need to operate on that network. And what happens is the battery gets drained as the phone looks for a signal. So it's a real drain on the battery, and people are getting frustrated. And one of the things they're doing is they're just switching off their 4G. They spent a lot of money, and that's the solution.
I mean, unless you're streaming a movie, I mean, how significant is it if you're just using it for emails and simple activities when you go from, I mean, when you're using it, when you go from the 4G to the 3G and back and forth, can you actually tell somehow?
Well, it's like you said, yeah. For things that require a lot of data, like a movie, like downloading music, or if you want a really high quality photo that you want to download, that's where it matters the most. But yeah, for typical everyday use like email, you're not going to notice the difference. And in fact, it's not really necessary. How fast does most email need to get where it's going in terms of microseconds?
I guess what I want to ask you is, as someone who's used the 4G network, do you think that it's something that most of us will really find useful?
Well, sure. I think over time it will be useful, and today it's the promise of what the future holds. And so all these carriers are building out their networks for tomorrow, knowing that 3G will be too slow for a lot of the techies, and then a lot of the normal people who use their mobile device for their only internet service.
Now, in terms of this battery drainage issue, can't that be resolved with some kind of a software update to maybe have the phone seek a signal a little less frequently?
Well, it's even simpler than that. It's almost like a switch you can flip. You can turn off the 4G and switch entirely to 3G, so it won't even look for a signal. 3G is what we all use today on most of our phones. And that's ubiquitous. Those signals are just about everywhere unless you get into real rural areas. So you won't drain the battery, but the result is, yeah, if you don't want to download your favorite TV show, it could be a lot slower. You might want to turn back on the 4G for that time and turn it off at night.
I mean, if you're getting spotty service in New York City, could it be argued that they rolled out the 4G network maybe a little too early and maybe it needs to be built out a bit more?
You might be able to say that, but certainly it does need to be built out some more. And you know, there's some famous episodes with AT&T in New York and San Francisco when the iPhone first came out. They just didn't anticipate the amount of data that people used, and it took them a few years to catch up. They're getting there with 3G now, and 4G will take a few years yet as they build it out. Even, you know, they're going to get to smaller cities, and the bigger cities will need to be bolstered and with stronger signals.
I'm talking to Greg Bensinger, a Wall Street Journal reporter who recently wrote an article on this topic. His story can be found at WSJ.com. So, Greg, you note that Verizon Wireless, their 4G network covers 200 million Americans, AT&T less than 80 million. I guess Sprint is in distant third place. How did Verizon get such a big jump on these other two carriers?
Well, it was just a matter of priorities. They decided that they would go straight from 3G to 4G. There's sort of an intermediate service, and that's the one that's being used by AT&T and by T-Mobile today, that they're calling 4G, and it could be argued that it is. It has faster speeds, but Verizon didn't take that intermediate step. They just said, we're going straight from 3G to 4G, and that's where we're going to spend our money. And they got a big jump start, and they have more devices than their competitors. The other guys are just playing catch-up at the moment.
You note that the carriers are highly motivated to get customers onto the 4G network, and the bottom line, of course, comes down to money. How is the 4G service likely to bring in more revenue?
Well, there's a number of ways, but one of them is not so much that it brings in revenue today. It's that with faster service, you can provide more content. So over time, customers will discover that it's really cool to download things all the time and really fast and get them right when I want them. So the service that I'm using today, the data plan, is just not going to be enough in a year or 2 years. And I'll have to buy a pricier plan over time, and that's the way they'll bring in revenue. It's not so much the service itself, it's how people use it.
And is the growth and development of the 4G network running in tandem with the development of the phones and the lifespan of their batteries, or is one maybe a little bit ahead of the other?
Absolutely. Well, the phones are getting fancier. The screens are getting nicer. They're getting more capable. They have more advanced chips inside. But you're right. Batteries are slower to develop. One estimate I heard is that about the battery life improves just about 1% a year versus exponentially for chips and for memory and things like that. So batteries will always lag the latest technology, and that's just something we're going to have to deal with. Carry an extra charger, carry an extra battery, turn off your service when you don't need it.
Now, you note that just over 6 million subscribers currently on the 4G LTE service. That's out of a total of 138 smartphone users. Very small portion of the smartphone users currently get on 4G. Is that expected to rise dramatically this year, or is it likely to take a few more years?
Probably the biggest growth you'll see is in 2013. That's when AT&T will have a real robust network that covers a big portion of America. And Sprint, the number three carrier, will also have their own version of 4G in 2013 in a real noticeable fashion. So you'll start to see it then, and the content people are going to start delivering stuff that makes more sense for 4G, high-definition video that wouldn't be possible on 3G networks. And they'll find ways to make it attractive, lower device prices, and cooler features on your phones that sort of optimize for the 4G network.
Yeah, is the idea then to have a 4G network that covers basically the entire country the way the 3G network does now?
Absolutely. And so in Verizon's case, for example, they want to do that by mid-year 2013. It'll be just like 3G is today. Again, you know, the most rural areas are not going to have it, and they probably never will. But yeah, it's supposed to look a lot like 3G today, and you can sort of expect that you'll get service in most of America.
Well, they must be working at breakneck speed then.
Sure, yeah, it's quite expensive. Billions of dollars they're investing in this. They're hoping it pays off.
Could something like the 4G network allow people to almost walk away from their broadband connections in a way, relying just on their 4G to get on with their laptops and tablets, kind of like what we're seeing with cell phones nowadays?
Absolutely. That as you say, that's happening today. And there's been a few studies that have shown that for a good portion of America already, their cell phone is their only internet. So you can expect that as the tablets get better, as they get faster, that's a lot lighter to carry around. People are going to switch over in a big way, and some of the computer companies have figured out that they better get on board and start working on tablets.
Well, but essentially, you're saying that Comcast internet service that could take a big hit once 4G network is out there and covers most of the country.
Well, maybe. Remember that when you're sitting at home and surfing the web, you use a tremendous amount of data. It's much more than you do on your cell phone. Because it's so easy to sort of switch back and forth, look at a website briefly, go back to another one, and you'll always need that sort of home service for a lot of the web surfing you're accustomed to today. But yeah, it will change things, and Comcast is already thinking about that. You know, they've partnered with Verizon Wireless on a a marketing deal where they're going to market each other's service and sell it. So they're thinking about the future, too.
I guess I'm trying to imagine a time where we're going to feel that we absolutely need to download a movie while we're driving down the road. That's
well, you can imagine the screaming child in the back of your minivan who just has to watch Sesame Street or something, and you hit a button, and there it is.
Instant gratification. I think they say that that builds character, I've heard, or something
sure.
like that. Greg Bensinger, Wall Street Journal reporter, thank you very much for joining me. You can also check out Greg's article on the story at WSJ.com. Hope we can talk again sometime soon.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.